Hey guys, welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. As always, it's Rockwell Peterson.
And Isaac Wilhelmy.
And joining us in the studio today is a good friend of mine,
Matt Carlson.
Now, Matt's actually got his own podcast. You want to tell everyone about it?
Yeah. So it's called Pastime Solutions Podcast. So we had a YouTube channel going on first. We made some fun videos of us just kind of messing around, some public pranks, things like that. And we said, you know what? Let's start up a podcast. And so it's just a couple of guys sitting around a table just shooting the breeze, just talking about anything that suits whatever you want to know about. So go search us up on SoundCloud, Pastime Solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. I've listened to a couple of their episodes. They're a lot of fun. Definitely go check them out. But today we're going to be talking about education, because we've all grown up in very different situations as far as education systems go. So we're going to have a bit of a conversation about that, some solutions we see and some problems that we see, as well as, you know, kind of pros and cons of each way of, you know, kind of putting your kid through school. Let's get started. So, as far as the topic of education goes, Matt, you want to tell everyone kind of some opening statements, how you grew up?
Yeah, so my education throughout my life has been pretty plain and boring, I guess. I've just been public school all the way through, starting in kindergarten, going all the way through this year. I'm a senior in high school this year, so public school the whole way.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I started in a Montessori. And then was homeschooled for a year. Then I spent 5 years in a private Catholic school. And then 2 years at a public school. And then I graduated early and now I'm in college. So I have a year of college under my belt as well. And
I grew up homeschooled my whole life. And then now I have a year of college under my belt as well as Rocky.
Yeah.
So
having been both homeschooled and gone through public school, I found that the culture is very, very different, not only in how they educate you and how they test you, but also some of the things, you know, socially. Because I found that a lot of homeschool kids, I'm sure you can talk about this more, are awkward.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they don't get a whole lot of socialization.
Yeah.
And then having gone through public school, it was nice for me switching from a private school to public school because I found everyone was a lot more accepting. You know, there was a lot more diversity because I found at the private school, you were either like a certain way or no one really cared about you. Mm-hmm. You know, like you weren't cool. There was nothing really going on if you didn't play sports or be an uber Catholic.
Yeah, that's true. Well, especially for someone like you, because, I mean, you're not, at the time, you weren't religious in any way, were you?
No, I was, I've spent most of my life as an atheist, which we've covered in some past episodes, and now I'm an Odinist, so it was just very strange culturally.
I bet.
Yeah. But no, what are your guys' you know, experiences with, you know, public school versus homeschooling, and then I think you both have some friends who have gone to private school other than me as well.
Right.
So just a discussion a bit on like the differences between them.
Yeah. Well, and I will actually say, I kind of forgot to mention this, but the last 2 months have been homeschool for me.
Yeah.
For everybody because of this whole COVID thing. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of been the same way for you guys with college classes, but it was just so different to just wake up one day and say, all right, I can't go back to school. Let's just try and learn all this stuff on my own.
Yeah.
Without, like, you know, you get some guidance from the teachers, you get Zoom meetings and stuff, which is kind of how I assume it would be in homeschool, maybe, like, you kind of have, like, an online teacher?
Or... Yeah, it depends if you either pick online or you have your parent teach you.
Oh, okay. Which way did you do it?
My parent. My mom taught me just all the way through, so I had no online classes.
Yeah. And I had even thought about that, too, and I talked to my both my mom and my dad, and they were like, yeah, there's no way we can teach you this. Like, I'm in AP Calculus and AP Physics too, and they're like, yeah, there's no way we can teach you this. So, like, you're on your own. So
I'm not a math major. I'm not a physicist. I can't help you. But yeah, no, the change from, you know, even just homeschooling to private school was a huge jump, you know, because I was so used to just kind of waking up, being like, okay, we're just gonna get some stuff done today, have some fun. And it was different for me homeschool wise because we had like a homeschooling co-op type thing where they're like kids would come over to my house and we spent most of the time just kind of goofing around and having fun, right. You know, so it's basically just like constant play dates at my house.
Well, no, there's definitely a beauty, I'll say, to being able to school on your own terms, because like when else in the middle of the day can you just like, it's 2 o'clock. All right, I'm going to go for a hike.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go for a bike ride, or, you know, I got to go get my haircut. I'm going to go get my haircut right now. Mm-hmm. Like, when else can you do that? Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of it, I guess, I would say.
Yeah, no, regarding homeschool, I know a lot about this. It can be either, like, really good or really bad.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was both for me.
Yeah.
Just growing up, I was like, okay, school, this is what I got to do. But then when I hit, like, high school age, I just got more lazy.
Yeah.
And since you can be more lenient, sometimes you don't even have to do anything. And so I'm like, oh, I don't have to do this. So I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So that was really bad because my education was horrible because of me. Because I didn't want to do anything. And also the just social interaction is so hard.
Yeah.
Because you're just at home all day, every day. And the only way to get out is either play sports or go to like a church youth group or something. And so that's how I got to become social. And it was very hard for me because I started around, like, high school.
Yeah.
And so I was already grown up. Everybody else was super social. I was just, like, the shy, awkward kid in the corner, just spectating everyone.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever been the shy, awkward kid, but...
No,
also...
you have
not. Oh, yeah. But, no, I've found that I at least have really enjoyed my time in public school because I think it gets a bad rap from people. I found that the education is just as good, if not better, at public school as compared to private school, which a lot of people don't seem to realize. The only benefit I really saw with the Catholic private school was smaller classes, which wasn't even really the case with our size of public school. Like, the class sizes were the same. And then, you know, like a religious education, like, which is beneficial for some, but as someone who isn't a Christian, it just didn't...
It's not for everybody.
Yeah, it just didn't resonate with me, you know? But yeah, no, as far as the different systems go, I found that a lot more people were accepted at public schools, but there was a lot less people hung out together. You know, like, social time was at school. And I found pretty much the reverse at private school, where people hung out all the time outside of school. School wasn't really a social thing, but also not a whole lot of people were accepted, which is why so many people hung out outside of school.
So it's like the number of groups.
Yeah.
Like at public school and... You know, you've got all your different groups, and not to just say, oh, it's the group of athletes and the nerds and all that kind of stuff, but there's just, everyone's got their own, especially in high school,
because
you only went to public school during high school, correct?
Yeah.
And so, that's when kids are kind of more finding their groups and their friend groups, and everybody's, like, super nice to each other at school, but, you know, and I can definitely say this, like, that doesn't mean I want to hang out with everybody after school.
Yeah, no.
As opposed to just there being, like, one or two groups at Catholic school. Where they all hang out at the end of the day anyways, so.
Yeah, no, at the Catholic school at least, the size of our grade was tiny, like just tiny. And so all the guys in the grade were split up between my friend group and then one other friend group. Mm-hmm. Like every guy in the grade was either in one or the other, and we were about the same size, to give you an idea.
Yeah.
Like just a 50-50 split down the middle, and the groups never really intermingled. Like, we took up opposite sides of the lunchroom, we didn't really get along, and we hung out separately outside of school.
That's really weird. I would never... Yeah, I like...
Yeah.
It's just, it's just weird to think about that.
It was very tribal, and then it was just strange. It was just really, really strange.
Yeah, with homeschool, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
With, like, the youth group that you go to, or, like, the sports team that you're with. Or your siblings.
Yeah.
Just friends with your siblings, I guess. But yeah, I bet there's a lot of diversity in public school, especially. And so you have to, like, pick and choose who you want to be with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of the benefit of going to public school your whole life, too, is, like, once you get to high school, or, like, even, so the transition from elementary to middle school, it's just more schools that join.
Yeah.
So you already have all your friends there, and then it just opens up more windows for new friends to meet. Mm-hmm. And then same thing with the transition from middle school to high school. You're just, more schools are meshing together, and you're just getting to meet more kids from those more schools. So you still have your friends from elementary school. You still have your friends from middle school. Now you just get to meet new friends from high school. And then, I think, like, high school has just definitely been where I've met all my friends. That's, like, my favorite thing. I love that, you know, like they always say, it kind of sounds cheesy, oh, like your senior year, junior year of high school, that's when you figure out who you are. But it is.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know, it really is, for sure. You find out who your friends are. Your friends are better friends than you've ever had before. Mm-hmm. Just kind of all kinds of things like that.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure college brings that to another level, too.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah. It is insane, because there are so many different people. There are so many different cultures and ideas and, you know, preferences. It's just crazy, because anything you want to do, you can find a group of people who want to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of fun. Like, I had some friends in college this last year where we got bored during a week where we were coming back from, I think it was winter break.
Silly week.
Yeah, pretty much. So I just busted out a bunch of swords that I had, laid them out on the green, and just random people would walk up and just sword fight me. Like, it was so much fun. Like, me and, like, two friends of mine were just beating on each other, and other people would just walk up, pick one up, and join the fight. Huh. Like, it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's cool. And it's cool to hear that, like, there's all kinds of groups, even at a smaller college.
Oh, yeah.
Like you guys have, because, both BH and mines are
pretty small.
Small colleges.
Yeah. So.
Like, the clubs are huge in colleges.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at BH, I'm like, you know what? I like chess. I enjoy it. And so I tried to start up a chess club this last semester, but due to the virus, I have to wait until next semester. But I had people coming up to me like, hey, I heard you starting a chess club. Can I be in it? I'm like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, people I wouldn't expect.
I mean, I'll be in it.
Yeah, since you're going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. But no, the transition from high school, homeschool to college for me was just mind-blowing. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, people everywhere.
People everywhere. So many opportunities. What do I do?
Yeah,
no.
So was it scary for you, or was it just kind of a smooth transition?
I mean, it was scary at first when I had the thought of going to college, but once I was there, I just adapted to it. I'm like, okay, this is my new life. This is what I'm going to do. So,
yeah.
That makes sense. And I assume when you have, like, a roommate, too, it's kind of someone that, I mean, it's someone that you're living with, and you can just say, like, oh, they've got this event going on. You want to go together, like, just so you have someone to go with, and then you meet more people there, and...
Exactly.
I mean, I don't really know, because I haven't been through college, but...
Yeah, no, it's like that. Like, first week or two, especially in orientation, you bring your roommate, be like, hey, let's go to this, and then you meet more people, and then you find your groups within the first few weeks.
Yeah.
Already, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to go to U of W, right?
Yes.
University of Wyoming. Yeah, the campus there is super nice. We talked a little bit about this before, you know, we got on the before we started recording. But I do find it interesting how different culturally different colleges can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuz I'm sure you've toured a couple and just
Yeah, I have, like, one, like, the one that I would say was really different from the other ones that I went to was University of Nebraska. Like, it was really, it was so big, and I think that plays a part into it, too. I think it's more than 25,000 students there.
Jeez.
Wow.
And the Greek life there is huge.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, it was just really weird. It was just, like, a shock to me how big it was and how many people there are and how nice everything was there. But, like, you can tell it's just a different vibe. It's a really fast... quick moving, more city vibe than than University of Wyoming was. And then I even went, I toured a small Wesleyan college in Lincoln too, called Nebraska Wesleyan, and it was, like, super nice, and all the people there, like, every person I talked to there when I was on my tour was just the friendliest person you've ever met. Like, they were just
all
so nice, and it was just genuine, and it's just a completely different thing. And like, they're both colleges, and you know, the size does play a big part into that, but it's just, yeah, I think it, yeah, there's so many colleges that are different.
I've toured a couple of colleges, and mine is so culturally different than any other college I have ever seen, like, ever, like, you know, because, like, I was able to do, like I said, you know, just random sword fighting on the green for fun, but overall, like, hardly anyone interacts with each other. You know, there's a small portion of the school that can actually just speak to anyone outside their immediate group of friends. Like, hardly anyone looks up, and you look at the upperclassmen, they are just, their souls are crushed. If they're not in Greek life, like, they just seem so, a majority of them seem so lifeless, and they it just seems like they want to die. And then I go to BH, and everyone's just kind of happy and laid back and chill. I'm like, you know, that seems nice. I'd rather not have my soul crushed slowly over time.
Well, and I think, I mean, I think part of that has to be the fact that Mines is an engineering college.
You know? No, that does definitely play a role. And if I had any advice to give to people out there, look not only at the colleges, but at the degree that you want to go for. And find people who are in similar or the same degree, and figure out how well you get along with them. You know, because if you get along well with the people that are also taking your degree, because these are the people you're going to have in your classes. If you get along well with them, it's going to be a much more enjoyable experience.
Yeah, it will. Like, what was it? In accounting. I'm an accounting major, so I found a few buddies that are in my accounting class, and then I'm like, hey, do you want to do the study guide together? Do you want to do the quizzes together? And it, like you were saying, it does matter how well you get along with them, because it is super important.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go to a quick ad break. When we get back, we're going to be discussing some of the issues in the education system. Okay, so as far as educational problems go, I personally think that our education system is just horribly, horribly, horribly outdated.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a good point.
You know, I think it's designed to make cogs in the machine of the economy that no longer exists. You know, it's meant to create people who either work factory jobs or specialize. And we are in a highly specialist environment now, so we can't teach the same way. Plus, we don't really have those factory jobs anymore. Now, I'm 100% in support of bringing those factory jobs back. But until we do that, I think we need to look at fundamentally changing our education system. And that's why I'm glad that we each got a chance to speak over some of the pros and cons anecdotally for us growing up in different systems. Because it's, I think it's pretty clear, you know, having more freedom is great, you know, freedom and autonomy through homeschooling. But if your motivation isn't there and if your educational learning systems aren't there, you're kind of screwed.
That's an interesting point that you say it's outdated because of, like, factory jobs. And it's not just factory jobs. I, like, that has me thinking about, like, jobs in, like, technical fields.
Absolutely.
And I might kind of have to disagree with you a little bit. And here's my point why. Because, like, when you went to Stevens, there are no, like, back in, you know, back when my dad was in high school, back when my parents were both in high school, they had welding classes. Like, they had intro to welding classes, and they had all kinds of shop classes, and they had, like, you could take car classes, and you don't see any of that anymore in high school. And so that's kind of one thing that I would say it's kind of a little more new school. Like, I wouldn't say it's completely outdated, because they're, I mean, yes.
Well, I'd say
training, it's kind of a tough thing. Like, I can't really put my finger on it.
I'd say those classes actually allowed people to specialize. It's just they're not encouraging those blue collar jobs anymore. And that's what I'm talking about. It's a system built for teaching people blue collar jobs or specialization in a highly specialized environment where we no longer encourage blue collar jobs when we should be. So the way I see it is there's two different ways we could do it. We could start encouraging blue-collar jobs again and make it, you know, because you can make a lot of money off of blue-collar jobs, and I don't think people realize that. Like, you don't need to go to college, but that's what they're pushing. They're pushing you to go to college and to specialize, and so people are getting in a lot of debt because they think that's what you have to do.
That's what I was, yeah, and it's like, that's kind of the word I was looking for. It's like a one yeah. size fits all
yeah.
system that they're running
right and now. And that's what I'm talking about, is how they teach us to be cogs in a system rather than
okay.
specialize in what we want to do and, you know, make strides in a plethora of different fields. Because the government actually manipulates how many people go into what field through spending money.
Right.
And so if you can look at it not only in the values that they want to encourage, but also the classes that they encourage. Because you'll see, if we need more scientists like we do now, Stevens just got a new science building.
They did.
And that's going to encourage more people to get into science. Yep. That's going to show people that there is money in science, enough for it to be put in the school. And then, as you can see, more and more people are now interested in science. And they've done that multiple times with a lot of different things. You know, they encourage funding and the classes of a certain doctrine depending upon how many people they predict they're going to need in the coming years. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing to do. I think we should focus on keeping a well-balanced economy. But there's
science
two
different... Science isn't for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so putting funding only into that, or majority of the funding into that, kind of screws over everyone else. And that's why I would... The way I see it is, there's two ways we can go about this. We can either encourage blue-collar jobs again and bring back some of those, you know, shop classes, car classes, welding classes, bring back some more farming classes, you know, stuff like that. Or we institute a new system that I've been playing around with mentally, you know, where you can continue down the normal high school route, or you can choose to specialize at about eighth grade and beyond. And so the ability to specialize, because I had a pretty good idea of what I wanted to be even back then. And I think part of it is, we coddle our kids, we tell them that you've got more time, and then suddenly you don't. And no one's thought about what they want to be. No one's actually been able to try out anything that they want to do. No, you know, you shouldn't have to get to college and then try things out to figure out if you like them or not. You should have that opportunity earlier. And so I would recommend building, say, South Dakota for an example. You build one of these schools, bottom left, top left, middle, top right, bottom right. Just one school there in the center of all kind of populous areas, center of all the towns, and have it be built similarly to a college. You know, and have it be a boarding school, because we have boarding schools already. And so you can go there, eighth grade and beyond. You can specialize, you can try some stuff out, and if you want, you can switch back to high school, you know. But, you know, sports teams, food courts, which would bring in not only money for the schools, but also allow corporations to get involved and sell food to these kids rather than, you know, typical lunchroom cafeterias, you know, jobs on campus. But each building on that campus would have specializations. And so, say a kid thinks he wants to go for a math major. He goes to this school, because honestly, I believe you have a majority of the generals and things you need to know after about 7th or 8th grade. I think everything in high school is just kind of showing you college without actually, you know, like prepping you for college without specializing what you're going to prep in. And so, by allowing for these specialization areas for kids who have an idea of what they want to do, and we start encouraging kids to think about what they want to do earlier, then we could have specialists out much sooner who are much more well-trained, and people would have a much easier time of finding their passions and what they want to do. So, say you want to be a doctor. You go to this school, you specialize, you're able to try out a bunch of different doctoral degrees. You know, you're able to learn the basics and start ramping up into that doctor degree. And then it cuts down on the average age of coming out of medical school.
Right, because that's like 30 right now.
You know, like, even if we cut it down to 28, 27, 26, 25.
We'd have more doctors.
Exactly. Yeah. At a younger age, who can work for longer and do a better job, because it'd be basically a public school that's also like a mini college for younger kids. And so you'd be able to figure out what you want to do for cheaper.
So would this be a free school to go to? Or
So it'd be a publicly funded school that would also be supported by private institutions. So, say a college wants more kids to go there. They can hire teachers to send to that
Okay, campus. So it's like sponsored by a school.
Yeah, and so, you know, multiple colleges in the area can bring their expertise and encourage kids to come to their school at the same time once they're done with the specialization area.
The hardest thing I can see about pulling that off is if you want colleges to work with these schools, I don't know if they would, because a college wants your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to, I mean, you spend a lot of money to take a college class, and if you can get that for free.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like dual enrollment. You can, like, when you can actually take it for free at a school starting in eighth grade, it's like, well, shoot, we need to, we're not going to do this. We're losing all of our money to a high school.
Well, I'm not saying necessarily a college has to, but it allows them, if they want, to encourage more kids to go to their school. Because I'm not looking at replacing colleges necessarily. I'm looking at replacing high schools. I'm looking at combining schools to an even larger degree, allowing more diversity, more friends to be made, and also allowing for more specialization in a highly specialist market. You know, not only colleges could contribute to it, but corporations as well. You know, allowing them to set up shop there, sell their stuff, and allow kids to work there.
Yeah, I mean, that's smart. You get into more specialized classes sooner, because that's like, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing. It's like, why did I take U.S. history?
Exactly.
Like, why did I, why am I taking English classes? Yeah. So I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm not going to, I know I'm not going to be an English major. I've known forever I'm not going to be an English major. Why do I need to know English classes? And why do I need to be a writer? Like, it, I just don't need to do that.
That's why I'm looking at getting rid of some of those gen eds through this system.
Yeah.
You know, it allows for that specialization, because I don't think people need to know everything. And by encouraging people to work together in teams of specialists, it would allow us to propel not only our economy, but our technological gains further. You know, and it'd allow for a higher emotional intelligence, because it would get people out of their comfort zones. It would get people exposed to new things. It would get people specializing in things and getting that self-esteem, knowing you're good at something.
Yeah, and, you know, and then I guess there's another, the only other downfall I can think of that is, you know, what if you start doing that, and then you decide, okay, yeah, this really isn't what I want to do, and then you would go to the traditional high school route, but then you haven't done all the classes that you have to do to get your high school degree.
And that's why I'm looking at not only, you know, if we start these campuses, high schools would change a lot too. You know, because like the whole culture of high schools would change a lot. The way we run our high schools would change a lot. And high schools would become more about, you know, figuring out what you want to specialize in a much softer way. Kind of being like, okay, you know, here's just generally what you need to know about things. And so it could not only be used to encourage more blue-collar jobs through our high schools and allowing specialists to go somewhere else. But it would allow us to change the way that we teach. It would allow us to change the way that we run things. It would allow us to move forwards as a society, in my opinion. And as always, I'm open to advice, criticism, disagreement. I want to hammer this out, flush this out, figure out what the flaws are.
And so... Yeah, I think part of high school... Like, I really do think they need to bring back welding classes and shop classes. And I mean, because there's kids that just don't care about math, and they don't care about English, and, you know, and I'm not saying welding is a bad career, because being a welder is not a bad career at all, and I also think that coming out of high school, that we need to encourage, like, technical schools more.
Absolutely.
Because I think two-year, like, getting a two-year degree from a technical school is, like, a beautiful thing. Plumber, electrician, you know, welder, car, you know, shop guy, what do you, mechanic, you know, it's... I mean, those are good careers, and somebody's, you know, they're not the most glamorous when you think, you know, you don't make as much as a doctor would, but being a doctor is not for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, people want to do that.
Yeah, someone's someone's got to.
Yeah.
And we need to encourage them to do it.
No, I like that idea. I don't have a lot of experience around it, because I kind of focused on what I wanted in homeschool, which was nice and helpful for me. But I have a few problems with the educational system. One is that the educational system kind of focuses more of a hierarchy to left hemisphere of the brain.
Yeah.
So, like, math and languages. And they don't focus a lot on, like, art and drama and just creativity.
Yeah.
Which I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Because they pay more attention to, like, math and language and yet kind of shoo the arts away and all that.
And I think that's part of what the specialization would help. Because you can... I'm envisioning where it's like, you can switch your specialization at any time. So you don't necessarily need to go back to high school. You can just switch what you're specializing in and try out a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Without much, you know, because like if you do that in college, you lose a bunch of money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many people switch their majors in college and all it does is cost you a lot of money.
And this
would
allow people to, you know, kind of switch at any time what their specialization thing is. Find out what they want to do. Find out what they enjoy. Find out what they're good at. And, you know, it would have not only sports programs, but theater programs, emotional intelligence courses. Like, it would focus on left and right brain specialization.
Yeah. Which would be great.
Yeah.
Great for the society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another problem I have with the... educational system is testing.
Yeah.
Like, testing is just time testing I don't like at all. Especially, like, speech class. My final was a test, not a speech. I'm okay with quizzes, but just having a test in that is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because it's speech class. And just, they focus too much about tests. Mm-hmm. They have, what, 20%? And they have, like, what, 3 tests a semester? So that's 60% of your grade. I think we should focus more on the homework side of it. Because that's when the kids are actually doing their work and
that's when the kids are doing their learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the point of school is to learn, not to see how well you can do on a test.
Yeah, not to cram as much information in your brain in as little time as possible.
Yeah.
Well, part of the problem that I see with homework is it was originally invented as a punishment.
Really?
Yeah, it was invented, I believe, by an Italian professor to punish his students for misbehaving.
That's interesting.
So I don't agree with the entire concept of homework. I think what we need to do is encourage actual learning. I don't like tests and I don't like homework. But I think focusing more on actual participation, learning social skills, getting that emotional intelligence, and learning things through talking with other people or reading. Like, I think we should be doing tests on how you learn best.
Yeah, I think you could simplify that as active learning.
Yeah, active learning. Yeah, hands-on, active learning.
And I also think, like class discussions, like participation in class discussions, whether it's... And you can do a class discussion in any kind of class, whether it's an English class or a math class or anything. And I honestly think teachers need to put more emphasis on that because on your grade on the class discussion, because if you're not participating in the class discussion, you're not learning.
Yeah.
It's like most of my classes are 10% of my grade is class debates and discussions and participation, which is ridiculous.
No, I absolutely have to give a shout out to my teacher, Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Bradley, I was just thinking about Mr. Bradley. Because
I love the way that he did his class. And Matt can attest to this.
Yes.
He talked about how we kind of control what we focus on. You know, because there's things that we need to cover, you know, like milestones. But how we get there is up to us.
Yeah.
You know, as a class, figuring out if we want to be a more social class or a less social class.
Yes.
And I absolutely encourage that kind of learning and grading where it's like, okay, what are my students good at? What do they like? Not everyone's the same.
Yeah.
And I think we should focus on that more is the fact that we are all different. We all have different learning styles. We all have different learning styles we learn best from and like, and we should focus on having classes that are geared towards that.
Yeah. And one thing I love about Mr. Bradley is he really takes the time to learn each individual like the very first thing that we did in his class, and while it seems kind of dumb, it was just like, make a PowerPoint project, here's what I want to know about you, like, tell me about yourself. And it had all these like things that we need to say about ourselves, but like, and, you know, it just seems like, oh, that's just busy work for us to do for the first syllabus week or whatever. But then it's like, no, he actually, like, I later learned, I was like, I know why he had us do that. Because he actually wants to know us. And he wants to, like, know our, you know, get a little insight of our personalities before we start doing work in his class. So he knows how we learn. And I've gone up and talked to him, you know, a couple of times this year, just gone up to his classroom and just said, hey, what's going on? And you know, he and I just asked him if he's got what his classes are like, and he's always told me, he's like, I've never had a class like your guys's, and I've never had a class like any of my other classes before. And he, you know, he remembered our class from a year ago, and he said, you know, you guys talked a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie, you guys talked a lot, and you guys messed around a lot. But he's like, but you guys knew what you were doing. And he's like, I just sat back and watched, because I knew that even if you guys were being loud and being obnoxious sometimes, you still were learning. And that's how you, that's the environment that you guys want to learn in, is a social environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, he took the smallest one-size-fits-all approach. Like, it wasn't a one-size-fits-all. It was, many different ways. And he kind of did it by class.
Yeah, which I really appreciated. And since being in college, the two teachers that I have come back to see specifically, well, three. But the two that I want to focus on are Mr. Bradley and Mr. Robinson.
Okay.
Because those two had... Because I think teachers can have a big impact on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And those two teachers had a huge impact on who I am and my life as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Robinson had a big impact on me, but it was not positive.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not going to rant about it on this. I'll tell you about it later. But yeah, that was... But yeah, well, so what was it like? Was it just kind of the same way? He just kind of encouraged you to be yourself? And
yeah, he and I would play chess very often during class. And he and I just got along really well. Like, he was a very interesting man for me to talk to, because I didn't always agree with what he thought and what he had to say. Mm-hmm. He didn't always agree with what I thought and what I had to say. But we still had those conversations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, in college, I've noticed that there's, like, two teachers for this past year that actually got to know me and wanted to get to know me, which I loved, which had a huge impact on me. Like, me and my teacher, kind of like yours, went and played chess.
Yeah.
Like, once a week. And it was just amazing, just in our free time.
Yeah. Getting to know your teachers is huge for your learning.
Yeah.
And you probably don't see that as much in college until you get into your junior and senior years at college. Yeah. So that's... like, good that you've already been able to do that as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And it does help going to a smaller college. Like,
oh, yeah, it does.
Like, I know my sister was, you know, she's at University of Nebraska. Her, for, like, her general chemistry class was, like, 350 kids.
Wow.
Like, she said, you didn't learn it. Like, the teacher had their lecture, whatever. You don't ask questions to them. If you have a question, you ask the teacher aide, who, like, half the time can't even speak English.
Yeah.
And, wow.
I mean... in my chem class at Mines, since it's a general, we, like, our class, our grade was 500 people or so.
Yeah.
And the class size for that was 200.
Okay, so they split it up a little bit. That's still a big class.
Yeah, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
At BH, I haven't had a class yet that is over 30.
Jeez.
Really?
Huh. That's insane.
Yeah. It's small, and it's... I love it.
I'm sure. It's really
nice.
That's
good. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're nearing the end of our time slot, so are there any closing statements?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think we've got it covered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get all something to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to thank Matt for coming on the show today.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. I'm glad. Pleasure. Yeah, it was a pleasure having you. Yeah. It's good to see you again, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Long time no see.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Good. Always good.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't forget to go follow his podcast on SoundCloud.
Pastime Solutions Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hit it up.
And you can also reach out to us, as always, Ponderosa_Ponderers on Instagram. Or you can email us at PonderosaPonderers@gmail.com. We'd love to have you on the show. We'd love to talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, we'd love to hear questions that you want us to answer, anything.
Yeah.
You know, we'd just love to interact with you, because we can't thank you guys enough for just how great the response has been, how many of you guys are tuning in every day. Like, it means the world to us. So, yeah, definitely go check out Matt's podcast. Definitely ask us some questions. And don't forget, keep pondering.